Right now it's time for our weekly Wisconsin news update. This week, big news in the ongoing John Doe investigation and an update on the UW system reserves.
Noah Obshinsky is back with us now in studio. Hey, Noah.
Good afternoon.
I want to start out with an observation about the John Doe rulings that came out this week. And the level of bafflement on my part is amazing because I'm not sure which end is up right now.
Yeah, I sometimes joke, and frankly, it's only a half of a joke, that I wish I would have gone to law school before I got into journalism because it would have made my job a lot easier.
Yeah, this is a tough one. A lot of twists and turns this week.
It is a complicated case. But really, the headline here, the big development, is this John Doe investigation that has been ongoing now for a few years. It's been looking at what prosecutors consider potentially to be illegal coordination between conservative groups and Governor Walker's campaign, as well as others other campaigns during the recall elections of 2011 and 2012. And this has been an ongoing, an ongoing case. The big development is it stopped.
Twice.
Yeah, it's been stopped twice, technically. It was stopped initially by Judge Rudolph Randa, and he issued an initial order earlier this week saying that the investigation essentially endangered the First Amendment rights of the groups that this investigation was targeting, these political groups. And he issued an order stopping the investigation, which is unusual. Because no charges have been filed. You know, this is just an investigation being conducted by law enforcement. And now you mentioned he's stopped it twice, and it's true. He did stop it twice this week because his first order was essentially squashed by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. And the court essentially said that Judge Randa had not followed the right protocol when he made that order suspending the investigation. The appeals court said that Randa had to actually officially rule that this appeal that prosecutors were making to the appeals court was frivolous before he could actually stop it. Randa took that advice, more or less, and in the second ruling, a day or two later, said, in fact, that this appeal was frivolous. So now the investigation is once again suspended.
And so here we are, but that leaves us with some questions, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the question now will be, you know, will prosecutors appeal this latest ruling? Chances are they will, but they haven't yet. And I guarantee you there are reporters around the state who are, you know, watching the federal court records website like a hawk to see if the paperwork has been filed. But again, you know, the prosecutors want this investigation into this, you know, alleged coordination. They want the investigation to continue. And the only way that's going to happen is if the appeals court in Chicago intervenes and lets them continue that investigation.
So lots to think about. And as you say, a lot of people are going to be watching this very closely. And I have to say, it sort of feels like we're in uncharted waters. And I don't know that we are legally, but just the way it's happened in the last week, it's not like anything I've seen lately.
Yeah. You know, again, you know, the thing about this case is it deals with campaign finance law.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been so many changes in campaign finance law and rulings, significant rulings by the Supreme Court and U.S. Supreme Court and others. And, you know, this is an investigation that is really at the heart of this. You know, how the question in this particular case is, you know, how close are these groups to Governor Walker's campaign? And the answer to that question, according to campaign finance laws as they currently are written, you know, determines, you know, if they have to reveal their donors, if they have to abide by campaign finance limits, you know, giving limits, you know. So this question is to, you know, how close they are to the Walker campaign or any other politician's campaign for that matter. That's under quite a bit of debate right now. How close is too close under the eyes of the law?
And all of this in the context of an election year that is just starting to heat up.
Exactly. I mean, we are the governor's campaign certainly has now picked up. And, you know, the chances are this is going to, you know, this is going to go through the appeal process. You know, the chances of this being wrapped up by November is slim. If anything, this ruling, as well as the likely appeals, will push this, you know, months and months and months and months down the road.
All right. Lots to watch there. Elsewhere this week, the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance met. And talking about university reserves, that was a big news story a year or so ago. And now they've come to, a resolution, but there's some new rules.
Yeah. So this is a new policy that was adopted by the Joint Finance Committee of the state legislature. And as you mentioned, they stem from the controversy that surrounded the surpluses that the system kept at a time when they were raising tuition and fees. And about a year ago, lawmakers felt at the time that they essentially had been duped, that they weren't told about these surpluses when they were, approving these tuition increases. The controversy led to, among other things, the tuition freeze that we've talked a lot about that was passed last year. And in fact, there are plans to pass yet another tuition freeze. So we'll have to wait to see what happens there. But all that being said, one of the things that came away from that controversy is how much is too much as far as reserves and the UW system. The system had suggested that the Board of Regents be notified if a fund balance gets above 15% of their expenditures. Now, the Joint Finance Committee, the lawmakers, agreed with the idea in principle of having sort of this ceiling, but lowered the threshold to 12%.
So they wanted to, the idea that there's this threshold that if it gets above that, they'd get some sort of notification. But it sounds like they want a little tighter rein on that.
Exactly. They want to be told, when they're just a little bit less. And there were other changes, too. The UW system also recommended that the regents be notified. Of course, we just talked about a ceiling. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the floor. And the UW system recommended that the regents be notified if fund balances dropped below 10%. So we talk about being notified above 15%, and now we're talking about they should be notified if fund balances drop below 10%.
But that was the university's recommendation.
Right.
The Joint Finance Committee took that a step further, too.
Quite a step further. The JFC liked the idea, again, of the floor, but they lowered that to zero. And they lowered it to zero because they were concerned that the system would use this new reporting requirement to boost their balances.
And so the vote came, and it was
passed unanimously.
So Republicans and Democrats on board for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Thanks for that. And we've got news there from the Joint Finance Committee. Elsewhere, big, big story this week. Earlier in the week, we heard the news from the White House and a big presidential tour to follow. But the National Climate Assessment was released earlier this week. And what does it tell
us? Yes, the NCA. And it's being billed as the largest and most U.S.-centric report on climate change ever produced. And, of course, it looked across the country, but it also looked at the upper Midwest, including Wisconsin. The headline really is, that climate change, it's here. And it's already costing the country billions of dollars and causing a lot of problems for various regions around the country.
So it's already seeing some of the, you're saying climate change is here, but what does the report outline as some of the effects that we're already seeing?
Right. So according to the report, the Midwest will see, I'm going to quote directly from the report here. According to this report from the White House, the composition of the region's forests, so like northern Wisconsin, it's expected to change as rising temperatures drive habitats for many of these tree species northward. So we'll see the composition of forests change. Increased heat waves, in both intensity and the frequency of those heat waves. Increased humidity, degraded air quality, reduced water quality, which, of course, all of which present a challenge to human health.
And so elsewhere, they also don't just stop at Wisconsin. They're talking about some of the bigger bodies of, like, specifically water around here, and mm-hmm. the Great Lakes are in play in all of this as well.
Right. So according to this report, the climate change will have a huge effect on the Great Lakes. It will affect, according to this report, the range and distribution of certain fish species, increased invasive species in the Great Lakes, and harmful blooms of algae and declining beach health. So really, climate change is having and will have an increasingly worse effect on the Great Lakes.
And one of the things that some people think that they are already seeing are some of the weather events That are going to be increasing. They're talking about things like rain and flooding and so on.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have potentially the rains that we do have are going to be more intense that may cause more flooding, for instance. And of course, that flooding has all sorts of effects on the environment. It causes erosion. It declines water quality. Of course, this has a huge impact on our infrastructure. It affects transportation, agriculture, you name it. And so really what this report was a laundry list of the struggles that we've had. And, you know, we've just talked about Wisconsin, but, you know, the report also addresses the country as a whole. And they talk about the drought in the Southwest. They talk about the forest fires in, you know, Colorado and the central part of the country. The report also talks about rising sea levels, which some areas on the West and East Coast are experiencing as we speak. Now, it may not affect Wisconsin directly necessarily, but all of those things affect the certainly our nation's economy, and certainly globally affects the economy.
So any good news in this report? Because as I'm looking down the list of things, the bullet points you brought in here, I don't see a lot.
Well, I mean, scientists argue that there is certainly mitigation that can happen. Scientists would argue that we need to lower the level of the pollutants that are actually making climate change worse, that there needs to be a change in policy in order to make that happen. And, you know, a lot of this pollution is due in part to the burning of coal, oil, gas. You know, much of it comes from the production of energy. And what these scientists and certainly the Obama administration is pushing for are, you know, policies that will lessen the amount of these pollutants in the atmosphere, certainly in hopes of, if anything, slowing climate change.
All right. So that's a look at what happened in the next week or so. What stories are you going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, we'll be keeping a close eye on John Doe, too. What happens certainly in the courts, you know, when prosecutors, if prosecutors file their appeal of Judge Randa's ruling, that's certainly something we're going to keep a very close eye on. And of course, as we talked about earlier, we're in the midst of a governor's campaign. So you never know what's going to happen there.
But there's going to be plenty of it, I'll bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Noah.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Noah Ovshinsky is Wisconsin Public Radio's assistant news director, and he joins us every week at about this time to bring us up to date in what's making news here in Wisconsin.